You are live. And you are live with the Council of Elders Show. Please stand by for Mr. Jason Brooks and his special guest today, and you will be in for a treat. Please hold on to something tight, because of the day after Christmas and right after this pandemic, I know the pandemic is over. So stand by for what's happening next. Mr. Jason Brooks.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today to the Council of Elders talk show, call-in talk show. What a year, 2020. This is a year that we'll never forget. This was a year to go down in the history books. Pandemics, riots, you name it. Kobe Bryant died. Just a whole... Weather conditions are tough, and we have to remember to just keep the faith. Just be thankful that we made it this far, and just keep the faith and try to stay optimistic. And today we have a guest with us today who is in the financial services business. New York Life Insurance Company representative, but he has some ideas on mindset and mentality, and we're going to hear from him in just a minute. But for you new listeners, let me just remind you about the purpose of the Council of Elders. The purpose is for older people to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide and encourage tribe members, settle disputes, etc. Our dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the Council of Elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single Council of Elders group. So we're establishing a group of elders here in the Sacramento, California area. We'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, and churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, their marriages, etc. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do just that. And may I remind you that any of our young listeners, you're more than welcome to call in today with your questions or comments. So let me introduce our audience to our guest today. His name is Justin Dominique. Justin is a native of Sacramento, California, went to school here. He works here. And Justin, welcome to the Council of Elders show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank
so
you
Justin,
very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yep, no problem. So, yeah, from Sacramento, born and raised. I work in finances, so a lot of time, you know, people see me in a suit, I'm talking about money, and they just assume that I come from money. And it's just, you know, that just wasn't the case. Sacramento born and raised, my parents quit when I was young. My dad was always super hardworking. That's where I got my work ethic from. And things, you know, are better now that I'm, you know, I'm an adult and different things like that. But when I was younger, a lot of people don't know, because I got a lot of Jordans. You know, I'm a fan of shoes. But back in high school, if anybody is from the North area, there's a street called Hillsdale. And there used to be a store called Fan Biz. And when I was in high school, I actually used to go down to Fan Biz and get fake Nikes. I used to wear fake Air Forces in school, which nobody ever knew that. Nobody ever knew. So one thing that I've just learned in my career now is that it's not always about working hard. It's about working smarter. And just, you know, whatever your situation is, how can we make the most of it? And that's why I'm such a big advocate for mindset and mentality. I've got a podcast I'm doing on mindset. And it's just something that I'm very passionate about, something I love to talk about.
Oh, okay. So your father was in your life, and he was a role model for you?
Yes, very much so. One thing my dad always told me was, I'm going to learn either what to do from him or what not to do. So there were some things I picked, like he said, he would say, keep the good stuff and just throw out the bad. So there's some things I learned from him on the right way to do it, and there's some things I learned not to do, you know. So, yeah, I definitely consider him a role model for sure.
Right, right. Well, did you have any grandparents in your life at all?
Yeah, so I do have my grandparents on both sides, thank goodness. But on my mother's side, my mom's dad has probably been one of the most influential people for me growing up, because my grandpa Ken, it always seemed like no matter what it was, my grandpa knew someone or had a friend that could fix it. And I've admired just the way the family saw him and just how he's always had an answer for things. And, you know, I'm going to be like that when I get older one day.
Oh, okay. Can you think of some of the things that, you know, he taught you? Maybe he taught you some wisdom or whatever. Anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, one of the biggest lessons my grandfather told me, and I think maybe some of the younger listeners will connect, and you guys, I'm sure, probably felt like this when you guys were our age. But I think sometimes we feel, especially in the black culture, we feel like we've got to do everything on our own, or it doesn't count. Like, we don't do it independently sometimes we tell ourselves that that's not good enough. And so basically I just got done going through a couple years of a lot harder work than I needed to, just because I was being stubborn and wanted to be independent. And, you know, at the end of that, basically I had worked hard, had nothing to show for it except a bunch of life experience. And my grandpa told me, he said, if there's people in your life that want to help you and they care about you, just let them help you. And I'm glad that he gave me that message. And basically what I took from that is like a lot of us, I think, can relate to wanting to be givers, right? We want to take care of people. We want, you know, to be leaders. You know, we want to be dependable. We want all these great, great qualities. And I think those are great qualities. But the thing about being a giver is for someone to give, that means that someone else has to receive, right? So by me preventing other people from giving me things and not wanting to receive it, it took that feeling away from them being able to give.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I just learned, because, I mean, especially with Christmas just passing, I think a lot of us know how good it feels to give. And just to give, whether that's great advice, whether that's a great gift, whether that's, you know, your friends down on their luck and you come through, you know, with some money for the rent. Whatever that feeling is, it feels great to give. And when you prevent other people from giving you things, you take that feeling away, that opportunity away for them to have that feeling. So it's just as important to receive as it is to give. I mean, they go together. So that's one thing that I had to learn.
Right, I see what you mean. Sometimes people want to help you by giving you resources or wisdom, but the person can just, I don't want it, you know, and just I'm going to do everything on my own. And You know, if you're really going to get anywhere in life, you're going to have the cooperation of other people. And so,
I agree.
Obviously, you must be giving something to them in order for them to want to give to you.
Correct.
It may be your attitude, your positive attitude or whatever.
I agree.
But one thing I wanted to ask you, Justin, you're 27, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now I'm I'm 67. Okay. So what's it like to be a 27-year-old these days?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's a good age to be at because I realize how young I am, and I realize how much further I have to go and how many resources there are and the opportunities are abundant. I personally think it's amazing. Now, a lot of people my age sometimes feel behind, and there's these goals we've set for ourselves, and I didn't think I'd be where I'm at 27. I thought I'd be much further. But there's these goals we set for ourselves, and sometimes, life takes a different course, or God has another plan for us, or, you know, it's just not the time for these things we told ourselves we would have, or maybe we didn't take the necessary, didn't put the right work in, or whatever it was. But sometimes we feel behind, and I just want to encourage a lot of young people that, regardless of what age you are, if you're under 30, you're extremely young. There's a whole another second half of life that we have to live still. Like a lot of people I talk to, they're 24, 25, 23. And they're like, oh, behind this and that. I'm like, okay, well, first of all, how old are you? Okay, 23. Okay, do you really remember the first 10 years of your life? Most of the time, not very much. So it's one thing I try to tell people is that time is based on perspective. If you ask a child how long a year is, they're going to say a long time. If I ask someone like yourself, let me ask you, how long is a year to you? Is that a long time, or it doesn't seem as long?
It doesn't seem as long, Justin. You're right.
It's not as long. So it's like
the years
go by quickly. They go by quickly. The older you get, the faster it seems to go. And it's just time is just perspective. So if you're 20 in your 20s or early 30s and you're like, oh my God, I'm so behind. It's like, no, you're not. You've got so much life to go, and there's 5 years can make a huge difference. 10 years can make a huge difference. So I'm excited. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, let me just let our listening audience know that if you would like to have some questions or comments for Justin today. You can press the number 1 on your cell phone, and Oscar will give you the opportunity to have a question or comment. So
we have a board full of listeners. So anytime you'd like to ask one to come in, let me know.
Yep, I'm ready for them. I love questions. I think I do the best. What's the more specific the question, I feel like the better answer I can give sometimes.
All right.
Okay.
Caller.
So, is there someone that wants to have a question comment right now? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let them in. We'll.
Okay. Stand by.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
And let me also say that please be brief and efficient with your questions and comments.
Good morning. This is Walter Williams. I'm from Alabaster, Alabama. I really don't have a question this morning. I just wanted to listen into the show and hear what Justin has to say. I'm very interested in the perspective of a 27-year-old. So I'm just here to listen. Thank you very much.
All right. Walter, I know you can relate to when he said that the years go by pretty quickly when you get older. I know I can relate to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are.
Ain't that the truth?
All right, but right.
He does have a plan for each and every one of us. Justin is right on cue, and I like that. I'm hearing good things are coming out of his mouth already.
All right, thank you,
Amen.
Walt.
Thank you very much.
And Walt, again, congratulations on your recent nuptials. We want to wish you a long and happy marriage.
Thank you so
all
very
right.
much.
All right. Justin, you sound like you give advice to your younger brothers and sisters.
Yes. Well, honestly, I give advice to anyone who's open to it, and that's why I love the concept that you guys you've done for this show, because so many things I've learned are from people that are older than me. So many things, and to me, it's kind of like time traveling. And what I mean by that, for example, you told me you're 67, right?
Right.
So out of your 67 years, did you ever have a career or done a job for over 5 years? What job or career was that?
Well, what I'm doing right now, life and health insurance, and I also had a business for over 5 years.
What business was that, if I may ask?
Well, believe it or not, I had a mom and pop's grocery store. My brother and I had, and good experience. This was in the state of Alabama before I moved to California.
Okay. So you had the grocery store for 5 years, right? So
correct.
What I mean by
mm-hmm.
time traveling is if I wanted to open a grocery store and I don't have any experience, it's just an idea, I can ask you and sit down with you, and if you're willing to share, I can ask you and basically pick your brain of 5 years of knowledge and experience. So in the course of maybe a couple of hours, I could learn a lot of things that would have typically taken me 5 years to figure out. And that's why, to me, talking to someone who's more experienced or older is kind of like time traveling. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I found it took me a long time, Justin, to learn what you already know, in that you can get instructions from somebody, write them down, and just go by what they said and save yourself a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
you're right about that. So now you're into mindset and mentality. Why do you think mindset and mentality is so important?
That's a great question. And there's a couple of different answers. The first one for me is anytime, the life that we have right now, right, is for the most part, I believe if you're over 21 years old, for the most part is a result of your actions. And your actions are a result of the way that you think. And if you never think about the way that you think about things and change the way that you think, sometimes you'll never change your actions, which will mean the life that you live will never change either. So that's the first reason why I think mindset and mentality is so important, because it's the basis of our actions and the things that, we choose to do. Now, the second
right.
reason why I believe mindset and mentality is so important is because I listen to a number of interviews from people who I consider successful. They've achieved financial success. They're doing things for their community, things like that. And they just kind of live the lifestyle that I want to live, right, doing what they want on their own time. And a lot of those interviews, they all seem to talk about their biggest shift was the way that they thought and their mentality. Staying consistent, despite having failures, just continuing to work hard. And a lot of that is, it comes down to the way you think. Successful athletes, the way that you think, is you got to have it in you to push through it. And sometimes I think about our ancestors, and a lot of us, can find things to complain about and, things like that. And I'm not going to say that some people aren't really going through it, because they definitely are. But I just compare anything that we're going through these days to what our ancestors went through. And to, you know, like for those of us who know our history, we know that the slave masters would rape the men, they would rape the women, and basically their spouse would have to sit there and watch it. And we still got to go out the next day and get back into the field and work from sun up to sundown, deal with these license, deal with this terrible food. And somehow our ancestors had the mindset and mentality to push through that. And it just amazes me when I think about it sometimes. So I think the foundation of anything is really in our mind.
Right, right. So
are you ready for another question?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm ready.
All righty now. Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Go ahead, caller.
Caller 3747. I guess he changed his mind.
All right, all right, no problem. Is there anyone else in line? If not, we'll move.
Caller 8473, you're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name and ask your question, and then mute your phone.
Good morning, Ron Rogers here in Sacramento, California. And it's a pleasure to hear this young gentleman this morning. You're like a lot of young folks back in our day, if you will, sir. You're willing and more than eager to explore your future. You keep that up. That's hard. And along with the other things that you've just mentioned, it's going to get you where you want to be.
Thank you.
And that pretty much is my comment on it. I am going to get off now and just listen. Thank you for bringing this message. I've got kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. And if they go along with the same ideals, which I've tried to install or what you're portraying, I know our future, our country, is going to be much better, because you definitely have to have the heart for it. This is an everyday thing. Like you say,
that's right.
Life, unless God cuts it short, you got a whole bunch of turns, twists and turns coming at you. I started out as a draftsman, ended up like Miss Jansen in sales. Went from that to something I never thought I'd be doing, manual labor. Oh, no. But that saved me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it up, young man. Keep a strong heart. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I will.
Yeah, so, Justin, what are one or two of your favorite techniques that you use when it comes to mindset?
So two of my favorite techniques, I will say the first and foremost, this is my absolute favorite, is no matter what the situation is, you ask yourself, how can I? It doesn't matter what it is. If it's you want to find a way to open your own bank, literally, and you know, you want to have a Bank of America, if you want to be a famous painter, if you want to find, like the gentleman said, I believe he mentioned his children. If you want to find a way to connect better with your kids and have a way to help them be more receptive to the advice you're sharing, I always recommend starting with how can I? And the reason why this is so important is because when you ask your brain that question, it's going to automatically start to look for an answer. And sometimes it's not going to stick. Sometimes we can't find it. But with the technology we have today, most of us have cell phones, especially the younger generation. We got no excuse because we all got them. And if you go to Google and you type that question in, 9 times out of 10, the answer or something that may lead you to the answer is going to come up. And whether that's, you know, how can I, for example, I've got a client of mine, and she wants to do freelance as an in-home caretaker. Now, personally, I've got no idea how to do that. I know how to market. I know business in general. But as far as the licenses and things like that that will need to be in place, I'm not sure. So my first question is, okay, how can I do that? So I go to Google, I go to YouTube, you know, I watch a couple videos to get some background knowledge. And then the next thing I say is, okay, if I could talk to someone who's doing it, that would be an easier way to find out, you know, from someone who's actually got experience. So I reach out to a friend of mine who's, you know, thoroughly in business, and basically he gives me the next couple of steps. And, you know, instead of him, he suggested that, you know, she starts a staffing agency, just because that's a lot of how the freelance nurses are getting picked up. It's through a staffing agency, not necessarily through them independently as a business. And then it's okay, that leads me to the next question. How do I start a staffing agency? And you just continue to follow the breadcrumbs, and eventually, you know, you'll arrive at whatever that thing is. And like I tell a lot of people, is we got to take the word can't out of the vocabulary, because as soon as you say you can't do something, you've already put that affirmation over yourself. If you say you can't do it, guess what? You can't do it. But if you believe that you can, where there's a will, there's a way. And whether it takes a year, whether it takes 5 years, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of time. As long as you continue to ask yourself, how can I, every time you hit a wall. And I feel like you'll keep going. So that, I'll say, is one of my favorite techniques. And the second one I want to talk about is, I got this term from a friend of mine. We call it extreme accountability. Extreme accountability. So what I mean by that is, no matter what the situation is, whatever my results are, if I'm over 21 years old, that's my fault. It doesn't matter if, you know, I know a lot of young people are, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Were you going to ask me something?
Oh, no, just, no, go ahead. I don't mean to, go ahead, keep going.
Okay. So a lot of young people, you know, they like to hustle, or, you know, run the streets, and, you know, that's the whole culture and this thing. And I don't judge. You know, I've been there myself. I understand. But one thing, you know, a lot of people are concerned with is people snitching or things like that. And, you know, sometimes, like I'm working with a nonprofit right now, and we're helping people that are coming out of prison and out of jail basically get back in the workforce and get back on their feet. And sometimes people will say, well, if this person hadn't have told on me, or if this person hadn't have snitched on me, everything would have been great. And that person isn't being accountable. Because somewhere along the lines, you gave that person some information that they shouldn't have had. That's your fault. Or maybe you weren't aware of the consequences, or you didn't make yourself aware of the consequences, you know, when you got involved. Somehow, some way, the results are your fault. Now, I'm not a fan of beating up on yourself. I think that's horrible. Accountability is different. That's acknowledging what happened, what your role was, what you could have done different. And then once you figure out what you could have done different, okay, we're going to let that go and we're going to move on. That's accountability. Beating yourself up is, you know, when you realize what you've done wrong and you just keep drilling on it. And that I don't think that's productive. But being accountable, yes. Where there's a will, there's a way. And there's something that we could have done differently to put ourselves in a different situation. Just like right now, if it's Christmas and you're like, man, I don't have any money for gifts. Okay, well, maybe in January you could have started saving $10 a month. And you'd have $120 put away. You know, people might not want to hear that, but that's where that extreme accountability comes in, because there's something that you could have done to end up with different results.
Well, Justin, I'm sure there's a lot of older folks that saying that you are right, and sometimes it takes people a long time to learn that. But we call it extreme accountability. It's quite refreshing,
that's right,
Justin, to hear a 27-year-old say that, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to pass the buck and they want to blame, you know, the white man, this,
mm-hmm,
slavery, that,
mm-hmm,
and just a whole host of things. And rather than just being accountability and say, what can I do different?
Right.
You know,
now
I want to
touch on what you said, if it's okay. Now, a lot of people do blame the white man and slavery and things like that. And I don't want to come off as if those things are not factors, or they're definitely is a huge influence in the positions that we're in. Right. Because I'm aware of, you know, redlining and things like that, and how that has significantly altered the wealth gap here in America. How I think after the Second World War, they were putting out a lot of GI loans for the soldiers to get homes. And if you do the research, a vast majority of those did not go to black soldiers. So, you know, things like that definitely did happen. But it's like, okay, once we acknowledge the facts, we acknowledge what it was and what it is, what are we going to do about it? And that's the conversation I like to have. I'm not a fan of the, oh, woe is me and pity party. And I'm definitely huge on crying and getting your tears out. That I agree with. But once we acknowledge that, okay, what are we going to do? And let's talk about that. Let's talk more about that.
Right. Well, you're so right about that. Justin, we've got another half an hour. Oscar, is there anyone who wants to have a question or comment?
Not at the moment. The caller 3734 never made a comment, but they're still listening. But I would like to make a comment about what Mr. Justin said, because I love that, because accountability is what you get when you look at something not at face value, but you look at it deeper. I remember in my life you asked Mr. Brooks about jobs. Well, I came out of college. I spent a year in college, and I came to stay with my brother in Southern California. And I never will forget that I was a parking lot attendant. I parked cars. The only job I ever got fired from. But I came home one day after that, told my brother, because my mother made sure that the truth will set you free. So I told him about it, and he set me down at the dining room table, and he says, well, he looked at me right in the face, and I still talk to him about this. He said, listen, the way I see it, you got three things you can do at this point. You can go back to college, you can find another job, or you can join the military. And so he gave me choices, and it was up to me to follow through on those choices. But what you can't do is you can't sit around here, because even the dog has a job. Everybody
in this house has
a job. And so unless you want to be on the street, you're going to have to find something you want to do in life. So I still thank my brother. He just turned 80 years old on the 2nd of this month. And I still thank my brother to this day, because I had a very wonderful career in the military. And so I just want to agree with you and applaud you for figuring out this formula for success at the tender age of 27. Now, I don't want to take nothing from you, but I do want to give you all kinds of accolades, because the Holy Spirit and a good parenting set really helped you get a good jump on life. So I stand down at this point.
Okay, thank you, Oscar.
Very much.
Justin, what is your advice on helping young people to be more receptive to elders? And what is your advice for helping elders be more receptive to young people? You know, in the Council of Elders, that's what we're trying to do, bridge the gap. And be there. So what is your advice on helping elders to be more receptive to young people, and young people be more receptive to elders?
That's a perfect question, and that's a perfect timing. So the gentleman that just commented, thank you very much for your kind words, and I definitely acknowledge the Holy Spirit and how he's helped me. But you made a comment that good parenting, and I completely agree with you. But for the people out there who may not have what they consider as good parenting, this is a perfect question, because even if you're without parents, it doesn't mean that you can't find the information, or that it won't be given to you, or that you can't find someone willing to parent you. Now, you might not have someone who's, you know, going to wipe your behind for you, but that doesn't mean you can't find that same type of resource or that same type of system. So first of all, I will say for my young people out here, is get away from being scared to ask questions. Anytime someone speaks and I don't know what they're talking about, I will ask them. I will usually stop the conversation to ask, or if it's a word, I will stop, or I'll let them continue speaking, but I'll pull out my smartphone and I will Google the definition. I'm not afraid to ask questions. And that is part of the reason I contribute a lot of my knowledge and my guidance to, just because I've asked questions. So the first thing I would say, young people, is ask questions, because whether that person gives you something that you can use or something that you can't use, it doesn't really matter, because asking a question doesn't really cost you anything. It doesn't cost you money. It costs you a little bit of time. But us being young, typically time is on our side. So the first and foremost is you gotta get away from, you know, being too proud to ask people questions.
Just now, I'd like to interject if a moment,
go ahead. Yes, please.
How do you decipher? How do you decipher if someone is giving you heartfelt information? You know, they could be elders. They could be 20, 40 years older than you, but not all elders are in your corner. So how do you decide, okay, is this person trying to get over on me, or is this just some plain good advice? Or you understand my question?
Great question. Yes, I do. That is a great question. I'll give you my answer. So my mother gave me some advice. She said, you can help people as long as it doesn't hurt you. So what I mean by that is, I've got a relative of mine. Yeah, it's not like, you know what I mean. But I got a relative of mine, and he's young, he's very bright, and he has a number of connections that he was just born into, right? Just some of his relatives are just, they're just connected, and that's just what it is. And I tell him, I said, look, you being as young as you are, and having the resources that you have, people that recognize that are going to want it. They're going to want access to those resources. They're going to want access to you, and they're going to want you to see them as a friend. So how you navigate that, or how you decipher that, is, first of all, you got to hear the advice in the first place. This is my personal advice. This is what I do. So first of all, you got to hear them out, right? If you say, somebody comes, hey, Justin, I got some information for you. I'll say, okay, of course, if I'm in a position to do my research and see what that person is about, then I'll do that. But if not, I'll say, okay, what's the information? I'll say, hey, you seem like a hardworking guy. Have you ever thought about investing in Forex or investing in trading? And I'll say, okay, so instantly, I think all of us are gifted with a sense of intuition. Right. So as soon as something doesn't feel right, listen to that. Now, that doesn't always mean abandon ship, but it means, okay, I got to turn on my senses. I got to do a little bit of extra listening here. So it says, oh, hey, what do you know about Forex? My senses go off, ding, ding, ding. So, okay, it sounds like he's trying to sell me something, but let me hear him out first. And, you know, he goes on and tells me about the benefits and things like that. And then I learn, okay, so this person is in business of Forex, and they do make a commission that way. So that's going to tell me, first and foremost, that there is something in it for them in me listening. And that's the first, I think, thing I look for is, okay, what is your incentive in helping me? Now, that doesn't mean that the person isn't here to help. It's just something that I'm going to identify. And, for example, with you guys in this show, you say, you know, we're basically trying to – this is what our goal is. We'd love to have you on the show. And your incentive for having me on is hopefully, you know, it's a good show. And then hopefully you also influence more people to be open to their elders and more elders to be open to young people. That's the incentive. And then I decide, okay, this is their incentive. Do I agree with it or not? And I say, okay, yes, I do. That means, you know, we got the same goal. They're trying to do something that I agree with. I also do the same thing. Okay, let's work together. So once you identify what's in it for that person, you can choose whether their goals and your goals are in alignment. And if they are, you take the advice or you look into the advice. If their goals and your goals are not in alignment, which means you guys are going two different directions. Let's say you had a show and you're like, hey, we're trying to basically tell young people how stupid they are and how they don't do anything right. I would say, okay, that's not really my point of view. I don't agree with that. Me and this person might not need to work together. So I know that was a lot, but basically to boil it down is you find out what's the person's goal, what's their goals and objectives, and are they in alignment with yours? If that person is working toward the same thing that you're working towards, I'm going to definitely take that advice into strong consideration. And that's where, you know, uncles and grandparents and older brothers or older siblings, yeah, you might think that they're not looking out for you. But ask yourself, if I end up, you know, homeless and broke, is that really going to make my grandfather feel better? Probably not. So their advice is probably coming from a good place. And same thing with our parents. Like, we don't want to listen to our folks, you know, for whatever those reasons are. Maybe when we were kids, they weren't the best people. You know, maybe they were, you know, too hard on us or whatever it is. Parents are people, too. They got to learn. They got to grow and evolve. But when they get to that better place, you know, what is their reason for helping you? Is it just because they love you and really want to see you do better? Okay, you might want to hear that person out then. That's my thoughts on how to basically pick and choose your advice, but it all starts with hearing the advice first.
Right. Well, that's very good, young man. So for us elders.
Oh, yeah. The other question, yes, you said how to help the elders be more receptive to young people.
Yes. What is your advice on helping elders to be more receptive to young people? Because young people have a lot to inform elders. You know, it's a two-way street.
I agree. So for me, I would suggest that it starts the same way with asking the question. And I feel like sometimes our elders don't want to ask young people because they assume, and this is my assumption, I could very well be wrong, but I feel like sometimes older people assume, that younger people aren't going to really have anything good, any good advice. Right, we're not going to say anything worth listening to anyways. So what's the point in asking? And I would encourage them to deploy that same technique. First of all, you got to ask them. And just to hear what they say, see what they got to say. If they say something ridiculous, okay, you were right. And it didn't cost you too much to find out. Maybe, a couple of minutes? Now, the other thing I think this is really going to help the elders out is a lot of times elders want to give young people advice because they care. So if you're an older person and you're trying to give me advice, it's because you care about me. Either maybe you see something in me that reminds me of yourself. Maybe you've had a struggle when you were my age and you know how hard it was, and you can see basically how I don't have to go through that same pain. So you want to help me. But all that boils down to is you care, right? So if you care about the young person, it is extremely important to ask their perspective, because what that is going to do is going to tell you exactly how that young person thinks. And here's what I mean. If I say, let's say I fast forward and I'm a grandfather, right? And I hear my young grandson come in and he's 16 and he he mentioned something like, I don't need a job. And the first thing I think is, okay, this young brother's tripping. He ain't got no sense. Well, what the heck is going on? If that's my first response, instead of me running with that and assuming that to be true, I should ask him, hey, young man, why do you feel like you don't need a job? And because times have changed, that young brother might say, well, Grandpa, because on this app that's called TikTok, I can make videos about self-awareness and, you know, mental health. And because of the amount of views I get, TikTok pays me $3,000 every month. And the reason why I bring that story up is because I know a young man who's about 14, and he makes about $3,000 a month from TikTok. And had I not asked him, I would think that, oh, he's just lazy, or he doesn't want to work, or all these negative things, when in reality, he is working. He doesn't connect it as being a job. And he might not need a traditional job because of the way technology works and the tools that are available these days. Now, let's say I ask him, hey, young man, why do you feel like you don't need a job? And he says, well, reason why I don't need a job is because my mom, she's a doctor and she's got everything I need. What do I need to work for? Okay, now I've identified, okay, this young man is tripping and he does got it messed up. Because I'm a person of faith. I'm not huge in religion, but I do believe in God. And I know in the Bible it talks about being blameless. And to me that means is I can't condemn you if I don't even understand how you're thinking in the first place. I can't jump all over you and tell you you're wrong if I don't know where you're coming from. So I got to understand you first before I can ever even consider passing judgment. And I know it tells us not to judge, but sometimes, you know, you got to tell people, you know, sometimes you got to tell them what they need to hear. But you can't, I don't think it's good to tell people what they need to hear if you don't even understand how they're thinking in the first place. So I will say for our elders is first and foremost, if you care about the young man or young lady, is to ask them what their thoughts are. And that way you can get a solid reading on where they're at before you go about trying to give them some advice. Because with the young man whose mom is taking care of everything, you might be able to better impact him by showing him the flaw in his thinking instead of just telling him that he's flawed. And what I mean by that is, okay, young man, you're living off your mom. I hear you. But how do you think your mom got that good job as a nurse? Well, I don't know. She just got it. Like, okay, well, have you ever looked into what kind of degree it takes? I know you're in school right now. How do you like doing your homework? Well, I hate it. Well, how do you think, you know, she got through nursing school? How much homework do you think she probably had? Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. It's like, okay, how many years has she been a nurse? Maybe 20, 15 years. Like, how many people do you think she's probably seen in pain or she's helped? I don't know. Well, has your mom ever helped you? Yeah, when I scraped my knee, you know, I tore it up real bad and she cleaned it up and this and that. Like, how much of that time do you think it took her? It was about an hour. How did that make you feel, you know, looking at all that blood and stuff? It kind of grossed me out. It's like, so how do you think she's been feeling doing that for 15 years? Don't you think that's a little hard or difficult? Yeah, that's true. I never thought about it like that. So how would you feel if you worked all these years creating this career, putting all this work in, going to school, going to class, dealing with the adversities and the racism that your mother dealt with that you don't have to deal with because times are a little different, just for someone who doesn't want to work to take $600 to $700 out of your check every month? How would you feel?
Well, I ain't doing that. I ain't having that.
Okay, well, how do you think your mother feels? That might impact that young man a little bit more than telling him, oh, man, you're lazy. You don't want to work. You need to go out and get a job. Because when you can understand where someone is coming from, you can help lead them or guide them in a way to show them their flaws without necessarily making them defensive. Because when someone gets defensive, that's when the listening stops.
We have about 10 minutes of show time. This is Blog Talk Radio. You're live with the Council of Elders Show with Jansen Brooks and his special guest, Mr. Jansen Dominique. So if you have any questions or comments, please press 1. If you would just like to continue listening, which is a wonderful conversation. I love the conversation because this is teaching us what we need to do to get ahead in life. Please continue to listen if you'd like to. Mr. Dominique, you may continue.
Hi, let me just say that was Justin Dominique. Justin, that's some very good advice. I have several other questions for you, and we only got about 10 minutes. We're going to have to ask you to come back one day when you have the opportunity, Justin, to do a part two of this show.
Okay.
One question I have for you in the last few minutes. What do you suggest for someone who has a question on mindset and mentality who is pretty much in a situation where they need some clarity or they mm-hmm. have mental fog in one area or another?
That's a great question. So what I would suggest to that person is to reach out. I'll say to reach out. I would say to find someone who has what you want. Some of the best advice I've ever got was from my mother. And she said, don't listen to people who aren't doing what you want to do. And what she meant by that is if I want to be a real estate investor, don't listen to someone who's not a real estate investor when it comes to how to invest in real estate. Now, that doesn't mean other people don't have advice, but basically, when you're trying to figure something out, find someone who's figured it out. So if you've got that mental, that fog or that issue, let's say it's around parenting, and, you know, your kid is 12 and they're just starting to kind of act up or do a little bit different and you don't know what's going on. And let's say you got a grandparent. And they've got six kids, and all their kids, let's say four out of those kids are successful and they're happy and they're living a great life. That is someone to ask for advice, because that person raised their 12-year-old at some point in time, and they have results of good parenting because the kids are, you know, doing well. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't have good parents, you can't make it, and I'm not saying that if you do have good parents, you're guaranteed to make it. But just you want to find someone who's got results in the area that you're looking for. And for anybody listening here, I help people often with those areas of fog or when they need some clarity, reach out. You got several gentlemen on this call that got the answer, and all you got to do is open your mouth and ask them and just hear what they have to say. That's what I would suggest.
Okay. Let's see. Where do you get your advice and guidance from? I may have alluded to that. Justin, where do you get your advice and guidance?
So for me, what I've done is over the years, like I said, anytime I've had a question, I'd ask. And anytime I have mental fog or clarity, or I need some clarity, I'll ask. And one thing the Bible also talks about is seeking counsel, which is what you're building here. And sometimes, even though I'll know the answer, or I think I think I'll know the answer, I'll be confident in my answer, I will still ask someone who I feel knows for certain the answer. And the call will go something like, hey, you know, this is what I wanted to do. Here's why I wanted to do it. This is the context, or basically the situation I'm making this decision in, and here's what I was going to do. What do you think? And sometimes I'll get, hey, you know what? That's a great move. Go with it. I say, perfect. And I don't feel like that's a wasted phone call because that gave me confirmation. Or sometimes I'll say, hey, you know what? That sounds great, but how about you just make a small adjustment and just do it just a little bit different like this? And I'll say, ooh, I'm glad I called because I wasn't even thinking about that. And for me, just over the years of adding up all these little nuggets and all these little gems from all these people I've talked to, I've just collected them and I've saved them. And now I know so many different things, but the biggest, one of the biggest ones is sometimes when I take a big look in the mirror often, and at the end of the day, you know, I'll say, did I get accomplished what I wanted to do today or did I not? And I'll think about my day and how I spent my time, and I really will evaluate myself. And sometimes the best advice that I have is things that I've just done and practiced on my own and share with other people. So I will say, first and foremost, asking others. And even when you feel like they're going to tell you that you're doing the right thing, that's not a wasted phone call, because confirmation is huge. Confirmation is a big deal. And then the second one is just, you know, being self-aware and paying attention to what I've done. And just, you know, like I said, kind of stacking those things up and being intentional about remembering and advice that I've been given.
Right, right. Justin, we've got about 5 minutes. And I want you to just give a little bit of a recap on your ideas about extreme accountability. Would you?
Okay. Yes, I will. So just to recap, if anybody missed the extreme accountability, basically what it is in any situation, I feel like once you're over 21, right? Once you're over 21, because sometimes we are, you know, a product of the situation, and at 16, 17, 18, it ain't our fault all the time. But I feel like once you're 21, the life you're living is the result of your own actions, and it's your fault. It is your fault. Now, does that mean I want you to go home and cry and hide under the covers? Absolutely not. But what I want you to do is look in that mirror and say, you know what? If I'm unhappy, it's my fault, and what am I going to do about it? Am I going to do something different, or am I going to keep complaining? Because there is somewhere along the line that you could have done something different. You could have made a different friend. You could have stopped hanging out with a friend. You could have went on YouTube and looked up some positivity podcasts. You could have Googled the answer. You could have went to school. You could have left school. There's something that you could have done differently to get different results. And it doesn't matter the situation. I'll give you guys a quick story. I had a friend of mine, and she was working at a job, and basically her manager never really trained her how to be a manager. So when the manager quit, she didn't, you know, no one had came in and trained her. There was no infrastructure there, and the employees were a little bit lost, and it kind of created a problem at the workplace. She said, hey, you know, the person didn't train me. That ain't my fault. And I said, I understand where you're coming from. I hear you. But at the same time, if that person was your manager, they were doing manager duties day in and day out. Basically, they were showing you how to be a manager through their actions. And you could have watched, you could have paid attention to the pattern, and you could have picked up a couple of things. Now, would you have known the job forwards and backwards? No. But when the next person came in, when the big boss came in and said, hey, now I got to train you, it ain't my job to train, but I'm going to have to train, you could have said, hey, I know this goes here, I know this goes there, I know every Monday at 8 o'clock there's a call I got to get on, I know every Tuesday at 10 p.m., you know, this person got to come in. And you could have picked up a majority or at least a couple of solid pieces of the process simply by paying attention. And if you didn't help hold yourself.
Justin, let me just enter. We've only got another minute or so.
Yep. Go
tell
ahead.
Everybody how they can reach you in about 30 seconds, if you would.
Yep. My name is Justin Dominique, J-U-S-T-I-N. My last name is Dominique, D-O-M-I-N-I-Q-U-E. And if you look that up on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Google, you will find me.
Okay, okay.
So, yep, just look up my first and last name, Justin Dominique.
Okay,
on Instagram,
well, Justin,
is Justin underscore Dominique underscore. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show today. You're a young man who's going places, and I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work and keep up your good attitude. And as you go, you'll be a role model for people that are young in the street.
Thank you very much. I'm honored that you guys asked me to come out.
Uh-huh, yeah, we're going to ask you to come again, you know, at some point. maybe we can talk about a different subject or just carry on this conversation. Oscar, are you there?
Okay.
Okay. So, Justin, I'm going to hang up now, and I'm going to call you right back, okay?
I am here. I am here, and the show is officially ended.
Okay, so I'm going to hang up and stand by, Justin. I'm going to call you just right back.
Okay.